There are many powerful places within the Holy Land, and I think it's next to impossible to say that any one place is more powerful than another. But the site that is called Peter's Primacy, where Christians have recognized as the site for this gospel reading we've heard this morning, is one that had a great impact on me as we spent some time there. And not only was there a personal impact, but it changed the way that I see this scripture in my mind, because it's so different than what I had imagined it would be like. And so this was a place where we stopped on the day that we were traveling around the Sea of Galilee. And this post-resurrection account is one that is important in so many ways. It gives us the details about how Peter and Jesus navigate through his denial of knowing Jesus in his time of need, and how Peter then might become the Peter that Jesus had said he would, the one that would be the rock that Jesus would build his church on, the leader that would impact the world. But that's not where Peter was when he went fishing that night. And so we see this account in how he and Jesus begin to come back together. I believe it also, though, tells us about how God wants to interact with us when we've fallen short ourselves, and how we might get on the road to forgiveness. I don't know if you've ever really thought much about where this scripture's happened. I know that I hadn't really cognizantly given thought to it, but I did have some pictures in my mind that probably looked more like a Caribbean beach with sand or something like that. And so I was really surprised to find that that's not what the Sea of Galilee looks like. And so in addition to the cover on your bulletin, we have a few pictures that I want to show you this morning. And the first one is a sculpture that is there in the Holy Land of Peter and Jesus, and just kind of gets you ready to get to the place. And the next one here is actually inside the church that is on this spot. But it's interesting. This is one of the few places in the Holy Land where they kind of built the church around the geography. And so you see this rock here. And from very early on, Christians recognized not only this as the place where this event happened, but this particular rock is where Christians have recognized that Jesus and the disciple shared their meeting there on the shore together. And I wanted you to really see what the lay of the land was like, because again, this was so different than what I experienced. And so these next few pictures, this whole area is volcanic rocks. Not real comfortable to walk on. I took my shoes off because I wanted to, you know, Peter wouldn't have worn shoes, although he probably was tougher than me. And I wanted to experience what it would be like to have jumped out of the boat and have gotten in, and it wasn't comfortable, I can tell you that. And so these next couple pictures are just a little bit more of a close-up. What does it look like in between the rocks there? You think that's sand, don't you? No, that's little parts of these volcanic rocks that have been broken down in seashells. And so if you think there's any relief there in comfort for bare feet, there isn't. And a couple of these other pictures are just more close-ups. There you can actually see, no, that's probably really not sand, just more uncomfortable rocks. And then you see, yeah, there's seashells that are also sharp there. And keep going. And this is out in the water. So even out in the water, it doesn't, you know, if you've been to some of those beaches that are a little rocky and then they turn to sand, not at this place. And so Peter would have obviously been used to this terrain. This was the area where he grew up in, that he would have fished throughout his life before Jesus first called him. And so even though he would have been used to it, it still wouldn't have been an easy run once he swam back to shore to get to Jesus. And so I was struck by the effort and care that these volcanic rocks would have dictated as Peter would have made his passionate dash to be near Jesus. And I want us to look at the verses that follow what we have read, but I want to point out one more thing before I do that. Now, obviously, Peter is eager to reconcile with Jesus, so much so that he can't wait to row the boat back. He knows it'll be quicker with them hauling this load of fish if he just jumps in the water and beats the other six there. But I think it's important to notice, it's not until after they've eaten, as eager as Peter was to be made right with Jesus, that Peter and Jesus have this talk. I'm sure Peter was struggling as to how that might start, and I'm sure we've all been there when it comes to hard conversations. And so after the meal, Jesus has this conversation. This is still John chapter 21, beginning in verse 15. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were young, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This is not just a story about the Apostle Peter. This is a story about us. Have you ever messed things up so bad that you believed that there was surely no way that God could love you anymore? Surely no way that he could use you for anything in this life. And so because you were so convinced in your heart that you had messed it up so bad, maybe you had a period of time where you didn't pray or read your Bible. You ever stay away from church for a week or a month or years because you felt you had blown it so bad that surely God must be done with you. Now, I don't want to go into ranking sin and asking us to say, well, how bad is any sin that we might have done compared to Peter's, because I think sin damages no matter what. But might we agree that Peter's sin that is being addressed here is one that's pretty serious? That he would have denied Jesus in Jesus' greatest time of need? I think as we look at the Gospels, it's not much of a stretch to say that Peter is at least one of the disciples, if not the one who is the closest to Jesus as they walk this time of ministry in their lives. He certainly, from what we see, is the one who's had the most invested into him. He's the one that ends up taking on the most responsibility for the early church. So for Peter, at the time of Jesus' greatest need, for him to be the one to deny that he knew him, when Jesus had been arrested and is on trial, to have Peter near, but then utterly deny that he even knows Jesus, the weight of that sin on him. How often did that replay in his head and in his heart? "I don't know him, not once. I don't know him, not twice, but three times. I don't even know the man." Peter knew this was serious sin. He knew that this damaged his relationship with Jesus in a way that he would have never imagined, hurting his leader and his friend. Think about how much all of this would have been chewing Peter up on the inside. In those moments and days between when Peter denied and heard the rooster crow to when he recognized that this is Jesus and jumps out of the water and swims in, can you imagine how miserable Peter would have been to be around during that time for the other disciples, for his wife, for his kids? There would have been no living with Peter because Peter couldn't live with himself after what he had done. And so we see this story, and it's not just about Peter because it tells us about the way that God reaches out to us in our brokenness and in our sin. How Jesus is always willing to have the hard conversations with us and welcome us back to his bosom. There is nothing that can separate us from God's love for us. If this didn't get Peter kicked out, then what would? As the book of Romans says, not life or death, angels or demon, present worries or the future, nothing in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God. Not even the worst sin you have or will ever do can separate you from God's love. Jesus loves us. He wants to do everything to bring us into right relationship with God. He spilled his own blood on the cross to bring us close to the Father. So why is it when we mess up, we feel that we need to spill ours again and again? Peter longed to be reconciled with Jesus. Do we get caught up in replaying our sin? Or do we allow our hearts to ache to be made right with God, as Peter's must have? Not only is this account about the way that God loves us and we can't sin our way out of God's love for us, but I also think this is an account that tells us about our calls to ministry. If we love God, then we must care for others. We are all called. It doesn't matter how much we might have failed Jesus, even if that amounts to historic levels. He has made each one of us for ministry. And so the more that we understand and experience and grow in the love of Jesus in our own hearts, the more that God will long to use us for what he has made us for. And so that ministry is different for each and every one of us, but if we think that there's something we can do that would disqualify us from God's love, that would disqualify us from being able to be a follower of Jesus and to share with others, then we don't know the Jesus that Peter knew in this account this morning. The more we understand and grow in the love of Jesus, the more we will long to be used by him to feed his lambs. Sometimes we think when we want to hide from God that that's only impacting us. I think this scripture reminds us that our walk with Jesus is not just about us. When we don't get right with God and have the relationship that he calls us to, when we think that we have sinned so bad that surely God can love us no more and we don't want to make that right or feel like what we're walking through is too big for that, not only do we miss out on what Jesus has for us, but the people that Jesus has made us to love and to be in ministry with miss out as well. And so as we close today, I want us to close with a prayer that is found in the book of Psalms. And it's a prayer that acknowledges just how near God is to us. How there's no way we can hide. That we may ache to be close to Jesus. Would you pray with me? You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Jesus, may that ancient prayer be our prayer. Jesus, may we know your desire to be right with us is just as strong as your desire was to have Peter right with you. Lord, may we let go of our sin and those things that hold us back. May we let go of that, drop it, that we would receive your embrace and your love. Thank you that you will never give up on us. Thank you that there is nothing that we could ever do that would keep you from reaching out to us. Lord, let us reach back and to find ourselves held by your grace once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.